Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you again. Bring greetings from Laurel, my wife, and the Independent Children's Bible Mission, a missionary organization supported by you folks for 33 years. So thank you very much. And this Christmas time, we got some special extra gifts from you guys. I want to thank you very much for that. It's been a tough year, hasn't it? Tough year all around for everybody. Everybody has come up with some kind of thing in their life where just some things just aren't going well from the virus or whatever, virus-related issues. And so I want to give you a little report on what's been going on with ICBM in the last year, because it's been a year. Here's your report. That's about it. Not much at all has been going on. Take you back to February, January, February, March, April, May. Hardly any speaking engagements. They were all canceled. I had 5 vacation Bible schools planned in the early part of the year, and 2 of those were canceled. And the 3 vacation Bible schools that we had at the Master's Feet, Calvary Church of Wayland, and Watson Bible Church. And you know, hopefully you know, if you don't, I'll just tell you again, this is my calling. This is what God has called me to do, to reach boys and girls with the gospel of Christ. And basically, it's those who have never heard the gospel before. Sure, I like working with boys and girls that go to church. You know, I like to encourage them and strengthen them with God's word. But it's for those who have never heard. And so we did Master's Feet, Calvary Church of Wayland, and here at Watson Bible Church. Guess what Vacation Bible School was the biggest last year? Watson Bible Church. Yeah, I already told them. Yeah, isn't that something? Rarely did we get over 50. I mean, we never got over 50 kids at Vacation Bible School each week last summer. Now, numbers don't mean a whole lot to me. They really don't, but I have to kind of tell everybody, just kind of to let you know what's going on so you can keep praying for us and see how things are going. But the kids who received Christ as their Savior last year, there were some. There were 3 at each Vacation Bible School, 3 at the Master's Feet, 3 at Wayland Calvary, and I'll never forget one of the little boys. Halfway through the week, it was during the break, I just told the Bible story, gave an invitation, and our missionary, you probably know the Angie Walker. You know Walker, Chris and Angie? Sure. Angie was home and helping, and she was my maestro. She was playing my piano for me. And so Angie and this little boy were up sitting on the stairway, and she was leading him to the Lord. So took pictures of that. And it was just a neat blessing to see that. 3 kids there, 3 kids here, and 3 kids at the Master's Feet. Like I say, believe me, please, I am not big on numbers because I don't really know their hearts. You know, I don't know if those kids received Christ as their Savior. God knows it, and that's all I care. Whether there were more, whether they didn't really understand, I don't know. And none of us know that. But I can tell you that I've been in the ministry full-time now for 41 years with Real Bible Mission, then starting our mission, ICBM. We have seen, on average, 115 kids receive Christ as their Savior every year. That's 2 Bible schools a week. That's all the release time Bible classes that we've done and all the kids' programs. Do the math on that one. That's a lot of kids receiving Christ as their Savior over 41 years. This year, we've seen 10 kids receive Christ as their Savior. This last year, you know, the COVID year, whatever you want to call it. 10 kids received Christ as their Savior. Maybe a little more, maybe not. But for us, the opportunities are not there. When I received a call from Bloomingdale Public Schools and saying that we're going to not have release time Bible class this year, my heart broke. I didn't want to, you know, I'm not one to tell everybody I'm a ball baby, a cry baby, but I cried my eyes out. No release time Bible class, no reaching those kids after 40 years, after 40 years of doing it every single month during the school year. So it's tough, isn't it? Tough that we're things that we're going through. Take your Bibles, if you would, pretty please, and turn to the book of Matthew. Turn to Luke chapter 12. And we're going to start there this morning. But I just want to tell you that the plans for the future with ICBM, with our ministry, it's kind of like this. There it is. I don't know. I really don't. One encouraging thing to me is I do have one Awana program at Otsego Baptist, one council time every month through April. So that's once a month I get to speak. And then in the month of April, I'm going to be going to their church to do 4 weeks of junior church. So there's 4 weeks there. But the point is, that I guess I'm trying to make here is that the kids that I'm going to be reaching, church kids, or the kids going to not be able to bring in unsaved kids? The parents don't let them come, for one thing. That is one of the biggest things that's happened in the last year. Parents will not allow their kids to come to Vacation Bible School. Even kids that don't know, that do go to church, they're not allowed to come. So we're, you know, if you want prayer requests, that's a big prayer request for me. I mean, this is something, and I got to thinking about this. I'm a reader. Anybody like to read? I know a lot of people like to read. I listen to BBN every day, all the time. Reminds me of Grand Rapids School, the Bible music, you know, this radio station. And one of the sermons on there encouraged me to read biographies of different people. And some of these different great Christian men, you know, that they talk about in the books that I read and listen to on the radio, these men had the same kind of issues that I have now, is that there were times of other kinds of pandemics that they went through, that they had to stop their ministries or slow down their ministries. And I think, how did they get through it? How did they get through this? How do we get through what's going on? Well, we're going to find out here in a second. But I found out from these different biographies that I've been reading that there are, have been, a lot of absolutely fantastic people who have put their faith and love and trust, who have done Luke chapter 12, Matthew chapter 6, and it's just, they've gotten through it. I guess one of the saddest stories, you know, you get a kid's ministry guy to come and to preach and he'll tell you a funny story. Things ain't real funny nowadays. It's just hard to come up with something funny. But I've got to tell you a story before we get into God's word that kind of leads right into it. I did in October, I did 4 weeks at a church. I won't say which one it was. And we had on the average of 6 kids come, and they were church kids. And I tried and I tried everything I could think of to get these kids to invite their unsaved friends. That's my job. That's my life, ministry-wise. They didn't do it. They wouldn't do it. Those kids would sit during junior church and just look like nothing. Their mouths would hang open. They would yawn. I would ask them questions, and they wouldn't answer. Easy Bible questions, and they would not answer. And I'm using all the technology ideas that I can think of and all the ideas and techniques that I could think of, and I could not get these church kids to say anything. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with our kids today? The COVID thing. Well, I got on the telephone with my daughter, who is a public school teacher. Okay, she teaches down in Lawrence. And I said, Rachel, what are you seeing in the public school system? What are you seeing? What's going on? And she says, it's not good, Dad. I said, well, I know. I said, I've just been doing these kids for 4 weeks, and I did some things that you told me to do before, you know, on cutting everything down to like 5-minute segments, 5 minutes of singing, 5 minutes of Herman, 5 minutes of a story. No, I can't do that. And then, and like 10, and then take a 5-minute snack time, come back and finish the story. All these different things, and it wasn't working. She said, Dad, it's gotten worse in last year because the kids are home, the kids are homeschooling. Ha, ha, ha. Homeschool kids, yes, but I mean, public school kids going home and trying to do homeschooling where their parents have a job and they're not there, it doesn't work. They're on the computer with Rachel, it doesn't work. They're yawning, they go away, they're distracted. And the list, does this, any of this sound familiar to you? Have you heard some of this going on? So I said, Rachel, I says, what do I do, Rachel? I says, it's driving me crazy. And in December, I was at another church, and it was like every Sunday I would ask these kids questions about Were the wise men at the manger scene? Were there three wise men? The star wasn't there that morning. The basic questions. And they just wouldn't answer. They wouldn't answer. I knew they knew the answers, but they just would not answer. She said, my Rachel said, Dad, their learning chalkboards are blank. They're blank. Their video cameras of learning are off. And I thought, how sad is that? Isn't that sad? That's what's going on. And I praise the Lord for Christian schools and for homeschoolers whose parents are there to be able to take the time to teach these kids. But let me tell you something. It's not the kids I work with. It's not the kids I work with that you pray and support us to work with. And I was encouraged by one of the biographies, a guy named Tozer. You ever hear of him? Yeah, you guys studied in Sunday school out of one of his books. What a guy. What a guy. And I got a little thing, and I thought, you know, these kids, I'm teaching them God's word, and a little quote from Tozer is this: Satan knows the scriptures. He knows theology better than all of us, but he's still Satan. And I thought, what is that? And what that is we know God's word, but we have the opportunity and to make the choice to let it change our lives. But if these little kids aren't hearing it, if they're not hearing it, what are we going to do? So I said, Rachel, my heart's broken. She said, mine too, Dad. What are we going to do? And she said, hang in there. I said, hang in there? That's the answer? Hang in there? Yeah, she says, hang in there. It's going to be better. I says, okay, we'll see. Like Ted says, God knows. He knows what's going on. Talk about people with like pastor from the Reformed Church has the COVID now. I'm taking a little survey. I don't get out very much anymore, you know that, but I'm taking a little survey wherever I go. This is for you. This is class participation. How many of you have lost at least, I'll say it like this. How many of you have lost one person, one or more person from COVID? Raise your hand. They died. You know of somebody that died. How about two or more? Three, four? You had four? Three? Four, five, six, my hand's still up, seven, eight, nine, and there's one other one, a dear friend of mine in Cincinnati, Ohio, was my youth pastor when I was in high school. What a guy. And he called us up, or his wife called us up a couple of days ago and said, take me off the oxygen, take me off all the medication. He just doesn't want to deal with it anymore. But what can we do? Why are you here this morning? I know why you're here this morning. This is all we got. All those boys and girls that I deal with, I have to keep in my mind that Satan is alive. He's powerful. He knows the scriptures, but it's not changing him. This is the only thing that can change the hearts and lives of people. Can only thing that can comfort us. Am I right? I'm right. I am right. Because this is all I've got too, and I've had to get into it as well. So let's do it. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, open up your word to us now, Lord. Encourage us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In Matthew, nope, not yet. I don't want to go to Matthew yet. Luke chapter 12. Let's look at this for a second. In Luke chapter 12, in my Bible, I got a brand new Bible a little while ago, and it's bigger, which means the words are bigger, which means my eyes are getting worse and I need something like that. But it's still, I still have the red letter edition. If you don't know what a red letter edition is, whenever you see red letters, that's who talking? Jesus. Jesus doing the talking. So in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is doing the talking, and I would like to start at verse 13. It says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divides our inheritance with me. I got to get a drink here, sorry. Why do you think that this passage of Scripture talking about covetousness is important with what I've been talking to you all day about already? It's simply this. We have God's Word. Those who do not have God's Word or do not want it, want stuff, don't they? They covet people's stuff. They try as hard as they can to get stuff in their life. But look what God, look what Jesus says about this. And he said unto them, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. I see this a lot. I lost my band director's job. I was teaching at Otsego Christian Academy, and they closed the school down before the COVID came. And to help financially, I'm driving cars for Harold Ziegler Ford. Deliver cars, pick up cars. And some of these cars that I have been in lately, especially, are like $100,000 cars. $80,000 pickup truck. Can you imagine that? And these things are immaculate and beautiful. There is a car in the showroom floor right now, $105,000 Ford Mustang. And people just want that, and they just itch to get this, and they're trying. And I talked to a guy yesterday about this. And he said, oh, this is a show-off car. A bunch of these Shelby guys, they got together, and they're trying to show off how they could build a car the best, better than anybody else's. I thought, why are they doing that? They covet so much stuff when they just simply need God's word. Verse 16, and he spoke a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. When those things be which thou hast provided. Verse 21, So is he that lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. Laying up treasures is what a lot of people do. But I'm going to tell you something. The kids that I work with and the people that I know are doing the same things. Born again believers, people who love the Lord God, laying up treasures. And I say that, and I know what's going on here a little bit with Pastor Farley. You know, him and I are friends, and you're going to be getting another pastor someday, and you make sure that pastor, when he points his finger and he's preaching and he tells you something, don't lay up your treasures on this earth, make sure he's got three fingers pointing back at himself. Make sure he understands this. I put a post on Facebook last week, didn't I? Some of you have seen it. And it showed a picture of those two of those cars. One was a Mercedes-Benz, $91,000 car. That's what it sold for when I got it back. The other one was a Ford Mustang worth $33,000. I've never driven a 5.0. You know what I was doing as I put those on Facebook? I want one. You ever done that before? I want the Mustang over the Mercedes. Oh, and I thought, thinking, I'm going to put that on Facebook. It was cool. And then I thought of a post that I put on social media, Facebook, a week or two ago, about hobbies and about how I love shortwave radio and trying to figure out how radios work and trying to learn how to fix radios and stuff. And I'm thinking, yes, if we're not careful, it can happen to us as well. So Jesus is saying here, don't lay up treasures on earth. Verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That's a hard one for us to do. Don't think about your life and how you're going to be clothed and how you're going to eat and what you're going to eat. Don't think about that. He says, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider this. I love it when Jesus says this here. Consider this. Think about this a little bit. Ponder on what I'm about to tell you. In place of what we've just talked about, ponder this a little bit. And look what it says. He gives an illustration. I love it when Jesus gives little stories and little illustrations, because that's what I'm supposed to do with kids, to help them to understand what's going on in the scriptures a little bit. Consider the ravens. Anybody here love birds? Raise your hand. Bird lover? Oh, a lot of hands now. Good. Birds are absolutely fantastic. So why does Jesus pick a raven to talk about first? It's not known in the Bible as one of the best birds that there is. All the stories about ravens are, but he picks a raven. And I think to myself about birds, and I think, you know what? I have in my side yard, I have two big bird feeders and three socks hanging. And all these little, the fatty things, you know, that they can get up on, eat, you know, the suet. Yeah, thank you. I knew you were thinking that. The little suet feeders. So I get up in the morning, and I know the snowstorm is coming, like this great big snowstorm we had. We've had some great ones this year, haven't we? Yeah. And I went out the day before, and I filled up the feeders. And I refilled up my socks, my stockings for the thistle seed. Got some new thistle seed this year. I have time saying that 10 times real fast. And I filled those all up from my little yellow canaries, I call them. Beautiful yellow canaries, especially the boys. And all the other feeders, and I had them turned just right so my wife and I could sit and watch them. You ever do that? They don't need you. The birds do not need your help. You do that because you want to see them. I love seeing these birds. This morning, there were just hundreds of them out there. Not that many, but there were so many, and they're just so beautiful to watch. But they don't need our help feeding them every day. Jesus said the Father takes care of even the raven. Driving those cars, almost every one of our drivers are Christians. And when we get driving together, we praise the Lord, and it is fantastic. And one day I was driving to Lansing, and I looked up a bald eagle in Lansing. It was phenomenal. But Jesus says here, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, nor neither the storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more are we better than the fowls? A lot, aren't we? A lot. Next time you feed your birds, think, you don't have to do that. You don't have to spend the money for bird seed. You don't. But you do it. So you can see God's handiwork, his beautiful creations. I cannot wait for spring to put the screen windows on and lower the windows so I can hear them, what? Singing in the morning and in the evening. Well, let's go down a little bit farther. Verse 25, it says, "And which of you... with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit. If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest?" Consider, there's that word again. Think about something else. Consider what else I'm about to tell you. I love this one too, and I'm sure you do as well. Consider the lilies, the flowers. Aren't they awesome? My wife is a green thumb of royal estates. She gets out in the garden and she digs and she feeds the flowers and she waters the flowers and she tills the soil and she trims off all the little bad dead thingies, you know. And she's out there and her morning daylilies and all the other roses that she have are absolutely phenomenal. She doesn't need to do that, does she? She doesn't need to feed them. She doesn't need to water the flowers. Who takes care of all those flowers? Who makes them grow? Who has put in them the ability to be the most beautiful things out there in the fields? God did that. So Jesus is saying here again, he's saying, hey, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful? Verse 28 says, "If then God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven," talk about wheat, probably, "how much more will he clothe you?" Say it with me. What's the rest of the verse? "O ye of little faith." There's the problem right there. Jesus waits until after these beautiful illustrations of the birds and illustrations of the flowers. And now he's saying, oh, here's the problem. It's our lack of faith that causes the worrying to come in. It's our lack of faith that causes us to just get anxiety attacks. Some of us have anxiety kind of built into our DNA. Me. I love the Lord Jesus. I think I'm a faithful man, I think. But I tell you, when one of my friends got sick, one of the guys I drive with, great, retired pastor, and he had to go, he almost died like three times, had to go to the emergency room, couldn't breathe, and I was just nervous, and I was anxious, and I thought, well, you know, that's part of our DNA sometimes, you know. But it says right here, it says, "Oh, ye of little faith," when it's talking about the things that we try to put in our lives to take place of what God can do for us and takes care of us. You know where faith comes from, right? You know how we get it, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. Yep, Romans 10:17. Well, verse 29 says, "And seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be you of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that ye have need of these things." Food, clothes, the basic needs of our life. That we have those needs, and God knows it. You may think in this passage of Scripture that having faith in God is what we really, really need to concentrate on. You know, studying God's Word, being in God, and it is. But there's another little key right here. So many people think that if we just go to church and listen to God's Word and hear it over and over again and hear stories about Charles Haddon Spurgeon and Oswald Chambers and then things will be okay. But there's a point that's missing. And it's coming up here, and Jesus is saving it. Let's see if you can catch it. I'm going to try to, just like with the kids once in a while, I try to trick them. I'm not going to try to trick you, but I'm going to see if you know what it is, okay? I'll see if you can get it. Verse 31. "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I'm just going to let them think a second. Did you catch it? Why would Dr. Luke leave out one of the most important words that Jesus said? He left it out. Raise your hand if you know what it is. No, that one might embarrass you. Don't do that. I'll just tell you, okay? Is that all right if I just tell you? One little word was left out. It's a word of responsibility. It's something that you cannot just say, "Oh, I love the Lord God. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to read His Word every day and have faith in God." No, you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. Now, did you get it? I'll give you another clue. "But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." It's in that verse. Okay, I'll give you one more clue. Long time ago, there was this little boy, lived in this area, raised in a family where his mother and his father were alcoholics. Mom was also a drug addict. And they didn't think anything about the kids. They let them run freely wherever they wanted to go. And right about the age of 14 years old, this boy was into rock music quite a bit and got into a rock and roll group and started playing for some different dances and things like that. And met a girl, and a beautiful girl. Boy, was she popular, and this guy really, really wanted to be able to date her. But the mom said, if you want to date my daughter, wreck that one, you've got to go to church. If you want to date my daughter, you've got to go to church. So the young man said, okay, never been there before. I'll go see what it's like. And he went there, and he listened to God's word, the word that will never return empty. I mean, studying in school, these public schools that I've been telling you about, that stuff going to return empty. It sure will. It looks like it's doing it now. But this stuff will last. It will not return empty. So this young man listened, and one day his friend walked the aisle and prayed to receive Jesus as his Savior. So they got together and they discussed it and talked all about it and tried to, you know, the young kid was trying to figure out what in the world is going on. What does this mean to receive Jesus as your Savior, to be born again? 2 weeks later, that young man prayed to ask Christ to come into his heart. Still lived in the family. Rotten, crazy stuff going on in their family life. I told my wife I wasn't going to say me today on this part. But this, my sister, had to drive down to the bars, pick up my dad, and take him home in the car when she was only 14, didn't even have a driver's license because he couldn't drive himself to get home. Little things like that. Well, anyway, as the story gets better, this 14-year-old kid gets a youth pastor. And his name is Dave Hammers. And Dave Hammers, what a guy. I tell you, funny, exciting. But this man and this young teenager, I'll just say me, okay, because you know I gave it away. You know who it is. I could not stay away from this guy. Because he would always, as he would take me home and pick me up for youth group, he would read the scriptures, quote stuff to me, and get my heart so hungry for the Word of God. Just last year, he came up from Cincinnati, and he was down putting on a little breakfast with us, and we were having a little meal down there in Otsego, and he stood up to speak, because he's kind of the guest. And he said, I remember one time I woke up in the morning and I went out to my car early in the morning and I got in the car and Tim popped right up in the back seat. And he looked at me and said, now, did you sleep in my car overnight? And I couldn't remember doing that. I really couldn't until I started thinking about it. And I'm thinking, was it because things weren't going so good at home and I left and I wanted to get out of the house and go be by him all the time because he was in God's word with me, making me hungry? That wasn't it. As we discussed it some more over the last couple of months, he told me, I figured out, I said, I just wanted to be with him. I got up, I went down there. I didn't think it was anything bad to sleep in the back seat of some guy's car that I could be with him as fast as I could. And I popped up and just so that I could be with him so he could help me with the scriptures. A young, long-haired hippie freak. My hair was like yours. I had a lot of it back then. My point is simply this. There's something that he taught me that I need to kind of close with this. And I'm going to give you one more clue. You haven't figured it out yet? Okay, I'll give you one more clue. If you've never been in a youth group with a great youth pastor, you're really missing something. If it wasn't for Dave Hammers, who's the one dying in Cincinnati with the COVID right now, if you have never been with somebody like that and involved somebody like then you're missing something. That man and his testimony should have his name right up there with Tozer and Spurgeon. And in my heart, he does. His life was just a fantastic way of reaching guys and gals committed to serve the Lord. But he taught me this, and we learn it like this, and now you'll get it. I actually gave it away when I first got up here. You ever go to a campfire with your youth group? Sit around the campfire, and what do? Sing songs. Sing this one with me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, remember? And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now you know what it's left out. What was left out? Say it. What was that? First. Yes. And that's in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Turn there if you would, pretty please. First, you have to seek God first. That's our responsibility. That's what we have to do. You can't just go through your Christian life letting people feed you all the time. You have a responsibility. And it says there, well, let's just read it, okay? Red letters, Jesus is saying this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. I'm not afraid or anxious that the phone call may come today or tomorrow that my youth pastor, Dave Hammers, has died and gone to heaven. That doesn't bother me a bit because I've learned that's awesome, isn't it? When you as a believer can go through your life reading the scriptures and sing, to lose somebody who knows Christ as their Savior, that's great. They're up in glory, no more pain, no more agony, no more suffering. I'm going to miss him like crazy. I feel terrible for his wife and his two children. But you know, we don't have to really cry about it. I mean, you know, like people do, they mourn and they grieve like crazy. Well, last little thing I just want to share with you in from this passage of Scripture is this. Seek you first. Parents can't do it for you. Your pastor can't do it for you. You have to seek Christ yourself. Finishing up, I guess, with my little story with my daughter. When I talked to Rachel, she says, "Dad, just hang in there. Just hang in there. It'll be okay. And if you preach the word, you teach the word, it'll not come empty." So do the same at your home. Do the same here at your church. And I know you are, and I think that's awesome. But I just want to encourage you, the last little thing with this is to do it. Take the responsibility and to do what God's word says. Don't just say it. You got to do it. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you so much for your word. Help us, Lord, to understand that first of all, we need you as our Savior. We need to trust you. We need to believe that you died and were buried and rose again. And Lord, I do pray that if there is still someone even in this room who has not put their faith and trust in you, Lord, I pray that they would do it right now. Just to simply pray and ask you to forgive them of the sin that's in their lives and ask you to come into their life and to save them from that eternal punishment. Lord, help us not to be like Satan who knows the scripture really well. Lord, help us to let it change our life. Help us to just let it change the way we think, to change the way we feel. Lord, help this stuff that you give to us, this Christianity, this belief in the word, help it to be real to us. Help it to make it our own personal thing. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. Encourage us with it today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.